mighty name we pray.
Be seated quietly in His presence. A place of making. May God make you into a better vessel. I didn't yet believe in amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 8. Then we also read John chapter 6. Verse 63 downwards. But emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being formed in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus, being God, did not count equality with God as something to be grasped, but he made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself of himself. He emptied everything of himself out of himself. And he took the form of a servant. Though being God, he was born in the likeness of men. And he came in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient. He became obedient, not just to death. He became obedient to his parents. How many of you remember that? Hello. He became obedient to his parents. You cannot be obedient to death if you are not obedient to leadership. Whether parental leadership, spiritual leadership, or whatever leadership. He became obedient. Even when the tax collectors came to him and said, pay tax to Caesar. He told Peter, go and you will catch a fish and you will see two coins. Pay one for yourself and one for me. He became obedient even to death, even to a shameful death on the cross. John chapter 6 from verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. But the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there were some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning whom those were who did not believe. Even as he has seated here, Jesus knows those who don't believe. But you are here. They were all there with him. They were listening to him from day to day, from time to time. But the Bible says Jesus knew those who do not believe in him. And who it was who would betray him. And he said, this is why I told you that no one come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. After this, verse 63. After this, can we read that verse together? Want to go? Amen. How many of your disciples turned back and did what? No longer walked with him. Will you turn back? Ask your neighbor, will you turn back? Will you say, this pastor is no longer preaching those hot messages. He's now giving us repentance, change your mind, change your this. Will you turn back? He said to them, I know those who believe in me, and I know those who don't believe. I even know those who will betray me, though they are with me. But when they heard this, they turned back. May you not turn back in Jesus' name. So this morning, we want to look as we continue on the Mind of Christ series 10. We want to look at the topic, living in the Spirit. Can we say that together? Say it louder. Living in the Spirit. Verse 63 of our text of John chapter 6 says, it is the Spirit who gives life, but the flesh is of no help at all. Hear me. Your flesh cannot help you. Your flesh cannot help you. Your body cannot help you. It is the Spirit that gives life. He now says, the words I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. Christ's spirituality in you begins in a mindset. Somebody say mindset. When we say be spiritual, spirituality is not conformity to religion or to a pattern. Spirituality is a mindset. It is not a conformity to a religion or to a tradition or to a denomination. It is a mindset. For Christ's spirituality to be in you, it begins in a mindset which is first spiritual and secondly material. Your mind must be first spiritual, then secondly material. So today what we shall be looking at is the mind of the Spirit and the mind of the flesh, or material. Material can be defined or can be referred to as the physical, can be referred to as the flesh, can be referred to as things that you see. For the Bible says the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Praise God. Everything you see on this earth is material. Your cars, your houses, your shoes, your clothes, every of these things are material. But the Bible says we should have a mindset of the Spirit. God's goal is that you have spiritual perceptions in order that He might guide you. Now, it is very, very clear that God cannot guide a man whose mind is not spiritual. For the Bible says they will not understand it because the things of the Spirit are spiritually discerned. So, if you walk in the flesh, if you walk in the material, all your thoughts, all your perceptions, all your thinkings are on the things of the physical or of the material, you cannot be guided by God. You need to, first of all, change your mindset. Set your mind, or let me use the word, reset your mind from the physical to the spiritual. Your growth in Christ can be measured only by Christ's dependence on the Holy Spirit. God directs your outer life through your inner spirit. Now, I'll say that again. God directs your outer life through your inner spirit. So if your inner spirit is not connected to God, your outer life, your the manifestations, your activities cannot be directed by God. Now, let's begin this lesson properly. The first thing we want to look at is The spiritual controls the material. Can we say that together? Say it louder. No. Anything that happens in the physical realm is controlled in the spiritual realm. That is why Jesus said, "Behold, I give you the keys of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you set loose on earth shall be set loose in heaven." Now, what that scripture means is that when you open your mouth on earth to declare something, it will be bound in heaven and it will manifest on earth. Nothing happens physically without a spirit behind it. Hear me? That friend who quarreled you yesterday, there was a spirit behind motivating the quarrel. Did you hear that? Now, even the words you speak out, there is a spirit behind it. When Peter stood before Jesus and said, "You will not die. So long as I'm here, you cannot die." Jesus looked at him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, Jesus did not address Peter, but Jesus was addressing the spirit behind the words he has spoken. There is nothing that happens to you. There is nothing that comes your way that a spirit does not motivate to happen. Are you hearing me today? Now, by theological findings and discussions, we have over 3,600 spirits operating in the universe. In the midst of all that, only one is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. So that means anything that is not motivated, initiated, brought forth by the Holy Spirit is brought forth by other spirits that are not of God. Now hear me. The thing might be good in itself, but it might not be from the Holy Spirit. True of us. Hello? Is it wrong for a man to tell his boss, "You will not die in Jesus' name"? Answer me now. Nobody's you know, you saw your God that you love, and your God keeps saying, "I will soon die. I will soon die." You see now, is that one from God? "I will not die." And you now say, "Call him aside." He says, "Sir, this thing you are saying every time, public, you are saying public, I reject it in Jesus' name." And your God look at you and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, the reason why it's not of God, as good as he should not die is good. The reason why it's not of God, it does not fulfill the purpose of God. If Jesus lives over 33 years, up to 40, 50, 100 years, has he fulfilled the purpose of God? Now, anything that does not bring glory to God and fulfill the purpose of God and fulfills your own purpose, that is of the devil. Amen. Are we together? Now, often, many of us are focused on the material world in which we live. So many of us are so focused on this material world. We have to be aware of it in order to make a living. True of us. It's good to be aware of this material world so that you can make a living, but it is bad for you to focus on this material world. Say, fix your eyes on things above. The world places many demands on us. True of us? This world places demand on us. Like, tells you a certain way to dress. Amen. Does the world tell you how to dress? Hello? Talk to me today. Does the world tell you how to dress? And you obey? You see? They don't want to answer that part. You obey it. Once you obey what the world tells you to do, then you are of this world. Are you ready for me today? The world tells you that in this time and season, you must dress with sleeveless and with bum shorts and with this. And you obey. And you say, well, it is my spirit that is important. Don't forget, the Lord works in your inner spirit to bring about your outer manifestation. Once you obey the directives of this world, then you are focused on this material world. How many of you have been to burial ceremonies before? Wave your hands if you have been to any burial ceremony. How many of you have seen a corpse? Okay. Do they bury them with cars? Eh? The best they can do is to fashion their coffin like a car. Or like an aeroplane. But they cannot carry through an aeroplane and put in the grave. In those days, we used to hear stories that they bury people with gold. They bury people with all those precious things. And some people go and dig it and steal it. Is that stealing? Huh? So who is the owner? Eh? The dead person. Who is the owner? You have buried it. You have kept it to the ground. Why did you bury it? If you own it, use it. See, sometimes we kill ourselves. See, when people eat food that they put on shrine and it does them nothing, leave them alone. They suffer free food. And it's not harm them. You went to keep food at the junction. When somebody is hungry, he has not seen 3 square meals. For 4 days, he has not eaten. And you kept food at the junction of a spirit that does not have mouth, does not have ears. And somebody went to eat it. You are going to arrest him. You should even thank God that the gods have led somebody to eat the food. You understand what I'm talking about? That dead person does not take anything outside this material world. Some of us, the world makes us to have certain impressions. If your impressions that you express, you know, they express impressions, is that not so? They say first impression matters a lot. So when your impressions are of this world, or you want to impress the world, you are focusing on the material. You want to impress people, just want to speak in a way everybody will accept you. Or you want to dress in the way people will accept you. Or you want to do things in the way all the people around you will accept you. Did Jesus care about who accept him or not? Huh? Did he care about it? Even when they say, you are this, you are that, Jesus said, I don't care. What impression you want to give to me? When hungry catch, I mean chop. They say chop too much. He consigned them. See, once you live your life to impress people, you are living in this material world. You can't go far. What about love certain things? This world tells us to love certain things. What are the things the world tells us to love? Money, fashion, fame, pleasure, power. What again? This side, they are not talking. Have they closed church? What does the world want you to love? Women. (Laughs) So any man who loves women outside his wife, anytime she see woman, his eyes will ping, 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 and his body will be shaking and shaking. That man is in this material world. Because in this material world, there's a lot of temptation. That does not mean you should hate women. But you should not lust over women. We must know the difference. Women, do you want to be loved? But do you want to be lost after? They said no. Somebody said yes. That person should come out for deliverance. Because if you want men to lust after you, then you have a seductive spirit. You know, everything has a spirit. That is a seductive spirit. You know, when the world tells you to dress somehow and expose some part of your inner body, what you are operating on is two spirits. You want to know the name of those two spirits? The spirit of fashion and the spirit of seduction. And the spirit of fashion and seduction, they go and in. When as a man, you decide to dress the way it's trending, when you are not in the US or UK, you wear short knicker with your ears, then you open, men as they see dressing, they open their shirt to this button here, let their singlet show. Some don't even wear singlet again. Singlet is now everywhere in the market. Men don't buy singlet again. They are, if they now have, you all now become worse. You have hairs on your chest. You'll now be showing it. And you make sure you greet the sister very close. What is worrying you is what? They are not talking to me. What is worrying that person? Okay, you didn't talk because I said you. Praise God. Are you learning something this morning? The world also tells us to associate with certain kinds of people. Associate with the rich only. Associate with those who can help you. Do you know some of you come to church because of a particular person you feel is your connection? Amen? Some people go to some churches, I will not mention names, because of the connections they want to get. That person is going to church for material things, not spiritual things. Okay? Jesus lived his life perfectly in the spiritual realm. His work was done knowing that the spiritual controls the material. The material obeys the spiritual. Hear this. The physical obeys what? The spiritual. So if you want to have control over the physical, you must be in the spirit. Yeah. Because it is the spiritual that will control the physical. Jesus' inner being, right? There's a power that affected everyone. Jesus, wherever he entered, he affected everybody. Even if he is not like them, he does not speak like them, he does not dress like them, he does not do the way they do, but he affected everybody because he operates in the spiritual. When Jesus stilled the storm, you remember that story? Was the storm spirit or physical? Physical, not spirit. Some people think when you go to the river and the river is a spirit. You know, when you begin to attribute natural happenings to spirit, waves are natural. Because what happens, at least I remember my geographer, I'm a geographer, that's what I did my first degree. When the wind, whether the east wind or the west wind, blows to the sea, it makes the water to have waves. It's a natural happening. Sometimes the wind might be stronger than another time. So when the wind is stronger, it will now amount to a storm. It's a natural occurrence. But when Jesus met with that natural occurrence, because he operates in the spiritual, he said to the storm, "Peace, be still." And the storm obeyed him. And people said, "Who is this that even the waves and the storms obey him?" Who is he? Because he's operating in the spirit. you too can operate that way. Do you believe that? Can you say, I can operate that way, and I will operate that way? Nature will obey me. The physical will obey me, because I operate in the spirit. Amen. The goodness of the material is at its best when it serves the purpose of the spiritual. I'll say that again. The goodness of the material is at its best when it serves spiritual purposes. Now, that means, that statement number one means, the material is not all bad, true of us. There is goodness in the material, true of us. Is car good? Is house good? Is it good to wear fine dress? Is it good to wear fine shoes? It is good. But its goodness will be at the best when it serves. Use the word, not the word what? Serves. It has to serve the spiritual purpose. For instance, I have a car, and I take my car to visit my friends. I take my car to go to market and buy food for me to eat. Where do you take your car again to? I take my car to work. What is my car serving? The physical. It does not have good purpose. It is your purpose the car is serving. But when you now take the car and say, this car, you will follow me to rural evangelism. No matter how fine you are, you will go to that local place for me to witness Christ. What is that car now serving? The spiritual purpose. Because as you drive the car to that place and you evangelize and you win souls, the car has also served the purpose. Do you understand that? Those of you, one will say, release your car for the church to use for something or for that thing, for the work of God. You consider the beauty of your car. You consider the expensive maintenance of your car. You also consider the fuel of your car. I've even seen some of you who ask church to fuel the car because they are the one to use it. I want to talk. Any material thing you have that you don't use to serve the purpose of the spiritual is of no good. God did not give you for yourself. How many of us know that we are only stewards? Whatever God gives you, is it for yourself? But we use it, in fact, 90% for ourselves. Even the 10% tithe, we don't even give it. But everything God gives to you is for Him, not for you. Now, let me take you back to scriptures. Did God give the Israelites plenty money when they were leaving Egypt? Yes. Those who say no, don't read Bible. Yes, God gave them plenty money. The Lord said to them, the Israelites were stinkingly rich by the time they were leaving Egypt. God said to them, go to the house of the Egyptians and tell them, in the name of Yahweh, give me your gold. Give me your silver. And the Bible says, the Israelites were favorably disposed, the Egyptians were favorably disposed to the Israelites, and they gave them everything. And said, go, go, go. You know, at this beginning, the Israelites might be thinking God is giving them money for themselves. Do you know that? But when they got to the wilderness, in Exodus 25, the Lord said to Moses, tell the people to build me a tabernacle. They should bring the gold. They should bring the silver. They should bring all the precious things they have collected from Egypt and build me a tabernacle. And God gave Moses the description that everything must be made with gold, the altar with gold, the pillars with gold. So some with wood. Anyone made with wood, go and read that description, was overlaid with gold. When God was speaking in Exodus 12, God already has a plan in Exodus 25. When God gives you that job, gives you that contract, gives you that money, God has a spiritual purpose in mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we understanding God's word? Okay. Jesus was sensitive to the spirit of people by responding more to their spirit than their words. I've said that with the example of Peter. If you want the mind of Christ, you must be willing to express in tangible ways our conviction that the spiritual is greater than the material. How many of you believe the spiritual is greater than the material? How many of you believe that the spiritual controls the material? So you must have that conviction before you can operate in that level. You must have that conviction. Without conviction, you cannot do that. Going without sleep or some other normal human activity can provide you extra time to accomplish spiritual aims. Do you know that if you go without sleep, how many of you pray in the night? To attain spiritual level, you must deny yourself from physical things. Does spirit sleep? You're not talking to me again. Does spirit sleep? Does spirit eat? Eh? So when you decide to fast, what are you saying? I want to operate in the spirit. When you deny yourself sleep and pray in the night, you are saying, I want to operate. I want to achieve a spiritual aim. Fasting, denying yourself food for a period of time, you are saying, my body is subject to my spirit. How many of you, your body controls your spirit? You now say, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So each time you say the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak, what are you saying? The flesh controls the spirit. How many of you have said that before? Yeah, they are not talking to me. How many of you have said that before? Be truthful in the house of God. Anytime you say that, you are denying the fact that the spiritual is higher than the physical. You must not allow the flesh, the body, to control the spirit. Once you allow your body to control the spirit is saying fast, and your body is saying eat. How many of you have noticed that the day you take a decision to fast, that's the day hungry will catch you? In fact, that day you wake up with serious hunger. See, each time you propose to fast the following day and you wake up with serious hunger, know that it's a test of whether you believe, whether the spirit controls the physical. But the day you are not fasting, you discover that your stomach will just be... Am I speaking practical things? For me too, as a pastor, it happens to me. Any day is my day of fasting, the way hunger will come. And if that day is not the family fasting, the way my wife will be frying. I don't know why. There's a spirit behind it. The spirit to tempt a man or a woman not to fast. How many of you have noticed that? And sometimes it might not be your house. You might be passing and you'll be perceiving some aromas that will be tempting your body. There's a spirit that I've arranged that you will pass that way and arrange that that aroma will come to you. Everything that happens, there's a spirit behind. And you say to that spirit, get thee behind me. How many of you have noticed also that the day you say, Lord Jesus, from today, I want to be good. I don't want to get angry again. I don't want to fight people again. After that church, as you go out, somebody will offend you. Eh? Have you noticed that? Somebody will just, even your wife can offend you. Your husband will just offend you after you finish prayer. As if they know that it's the kind of prayer you are praying. They don't know. It's the spirit. The spirit is arranging it to make you fall back to the material. The devil does not want you to operate in the spiritual. He always wants you to operate in the material so that he can continue to control your life. He knows that if you operate in the spiritual, you will be in control of everything. Praise God. Is somebody being blessed? Now, giving can demonstrate the value you place on spiritual things over material things. Your giving pattern can demonstrate the value you place on spiritual things over material things. The way you give. Amen. 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 You know, I began by saying, if you are not having a spiritual mindset, the Holy Spirit cannot direct you. Remember that statement. The reason why the Holy Spirit has not directed some of you to give God your car, to give God your house, to give God your bank account, is because when it comes to that, you are fully operating in the material. Amen. I remember when we were to buy this land, a lot of you were not here. In fact, almost all of you were not here. And I said to the church, there were not many, very few. Thank God, okay, our brother is here, Captain Zilan, Vice Admiral Zilani, was my church secretary. Look at him here. He's here. He lives in Kubwa then and works in Abacha Barracks. On Wednesday, he will carry his house cloth from office to the office. As he closes, he will change. He will come to Sun City. So when I announced that we should contribute, we want to buy land of 25 million, everybody look at themselves. How would they get the money? So I made my own pledge, and I wrote 600,000 naira. So after the service, the treasurer came to me and said, Pastor, you made a mistake in your pledge. Then my salary was about 50,000. So I told her it's not a mistake. She said, maybe you wanted to write 60,000. You now added extra zero. I said, no, it's not a mistake. What concerns you are my pledge. Is it not to God I pledge? Why are you looking at my pledge? She said she was just concerned. She has helped me to calculate my salary. That even if I don't touch it, I don't eat for 1 year, will it be up to? But I was led by the Spirit to write. You know, most of you, when you want to make pledge, you are led by your account. Material thinking. So I wrote. So I went back to God. God, you who directed me to write, provide the money. And God said to me, I have provided the money. I said, where is it? I can't see it. He said, look at it in your compound. Somebody just gave me a new Hyundai car, tear rubber, and God points that car. It's because I'm connected to the Spirit. So you know that car is the manual and all that. So I quickly wrote, typed on my computer, put for sale, contact social number. So I pasted it and I went to, that money, I've not even told my wife, I just packed it outside for sale. Not quite 1 hour, I received a call. How much is this car? Then I say 1 million. Then he said, no, I'll pay 800. I say, bring money. So he paid the 800 and I put the old 800. The treasurer came again and said, you pledged 600. Why are you paying 800? And I said to her, I pledged 600 And when I went back to God, God said, that car is the money I provided to pay the car. Is that not so? You must be in the spirit to be able to do that. And I sold the car for 800. See, if you are not in the spirit, if you don't operate in the spirit realm, it's difficult. You will not even hear God. You will not even hear that direction. May God help you. How many of you want to operate in the spirit now? If I is not raising his hand. Some who refuse to raise their hand. How many of you here want to operate in the spirit? Raise your hand, let me see. Some who refuse to raise. You must operate in that spirit, whether you like it or not. By fire, by force. Receive the spirit. The spirit to hear that all these things you have, the car, if I use that car today now, would that car be of value? No. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You know, it might be a small thing. I've shared the story when I was hungry. My family was in hunger. I was trusting God for food. My baby was just some few years. And I prayed and prayed. Nothing is happening. So my wife called me one afternoon that somebody came and dropped envelope. I said, the Lord said he should come and give me. I said, that person here where? Some of you need to hear where. If you see prayer, I pray for that person. That person hear well. Because I was in serious hunger. My wife would wake me up in the night and cry. I say, give me job. I cannot continue like this. I say, I don't have company to give job. And somebody dropped an envelope. I was not even bothered to know what is in the envelope. I just know that whatever it is, at least will give me food to eat. So I told my wife, wait, when I come back, I see the amount, we know how to, we sit down. You know, when there's no money, you plan a lot. We sit down and plan it, how to use it. So I came back, I opened the envelope, it was 20,000. I said, God be praised. I said, I'll give her 10,000 to go to market. Then we'll keep 10,000 in the house. Then me, I will owe like 3,000 in my pocket so that the man of God will have something in his pocket. So as I held the envelope, the Holy Spirit said, it's not your money. I said, but Holy Spirit, the man said, it's for my family. So the Holy Spirit said, it's not your money. So I picked my phone and I called the man. I said, sir, the envelope you dropped, is it for the church or for me? Because I don't want to eat God's money. The man said, no, the Lord told me to give you, pastor, that it is for you. I said, Holy Spirit, did you hear him? I said, sir, say it again. As if the Holy Spirit was standing by my side, let the Holy Spirit hear what the man is saying. I said, I'll say it again. The man said, it's for you. I know the man will be wondering what is wrong with this pastor. So I dropped and I said, Holy Spirit, did you hear it? It's for me. So allow me to eat this money. The Holy Spirit quickly reminded me. Then we went to buy a bus and I pledged 20,000. And it is 20,000 I was given. And I say, thank you, Lord. You did not allow me to eat what belongs to you. So I took the envelope as it sealed. I sealed it back. And I gave it to the treasurer. This is my own pledge for the boss. Amen. Is it easy to do? It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. So after 1 week, let me tell you this testimony. After 1 week, I went out for evangelism. In those days, I do evangelism till 12 in the night. Because some people go for parties. We have to meet them on the road. You don't know that time. Meet them on the road, meet them at the junctions, and preach Christ to them. So I came back around that day. I came around 11, 11:30. And I saw a car parked in my compound. And I asked my wife, who come and park car in my compound and left it to this time? He said, it's a couple that came and parked it and they said they are coming back. I said, by this time, as we are talking, they came back. I said, pastor, the Lord said we should give you this car. I gave how much? 20,000 to buy car for the church. The way you do with your material things with God will determine where your focus is. May God help us. I think if I end this message here, I have passed the message. Praise the Lord. What is your purpose? Does your purpose align with the purpose of God? What is your focus? Is your focus heavenly or earthly? What is your occupation? Do you know that that job God gave you, that job is for you to use it for the kingdom? But most times our focus is ourselves. The next thing I want you to understand is that you must have a relationship with the Father for you to live in the Spirit. What did I say? Have a relationship with the Father in heaven for you to live in the Spirit. If you don't have a relationship with the Father in heaven, you cannot live in the Spirit. Because the Spirit we are talking about is the Spirit of God. You need to have a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, before you can live in the Spirit. So if you are not born again, you have not given your life to Jesus, then you are not having a relationship with the Father. So today is an opportunity for you to be born again. Secondly, the Father does not give us permission to set our own agendas. If you have a relationship with the Father will never give you permission to set your own agenda. You must follow his own agenda. You hear Jesus saying, I have not come to do my will, I have come to do the will of the one who do what? Who sent me. In other words, Jesus is saying, I don't have my own agenda. My agenda is the agenda of God the Father. Now, the question will arise, Pastor, does that mean that we should not have plans? We should not have our own agenda in life. You can have, but let it align with God's agenda. Do you even know God's agenda for your life? Do you know what God wants you to do? So whatever goals you set must be to achieve God's purpose, God's agenda. God is the one working and invites us to become involved in what he's already doing. Now hear that. Those of you who have done experiencing God, you know that God is always at work. He only invites us to do what? To join him. So that means he always sets the agenda. Your own is to join him in his agenda. But what we do mostly, we come to God and we set agenda for God. May God have mercy on us. Can you this morning say, Lord, I surrender to your agenda. Amen. Amen. Let me quickly go and push this thing. I'm jumping. Christ walked with the Holy Spirit. So we need to walk with the Holy Spirit. Throughout his life, his ministry, his work, he has a close relationship with the Holy Spirit. His response to temptation tells us that the Spirit was predominant in his mind. When you have the mind of the Spirit, you will not fall into temptation. But if you have the mind of the material, you will always fall into what? Temptation. Now, how many of you have fallen into 419 before? Raise your hand. It's because you have a Bojo High. We quickly blame those who do us 419. Somebody call you and say, I am engineer this. I've received those kind of calls plenty times. I'm in Junior this. I used to worship in your church, but now God has blessed me. I am in so place, and I want to give you contracts. Obojo High pastor will say, contracts? Ooh. I will answer them, I am a pastor. I am not a contractor. In fact, there was this one that worried me. I said, look, I am a pastor. If you want to give contracts, I will link you to contractors. So I called if I remember that time. So I have talked to him. He likes business. If he's blessed, I am blessed. Two of us. The man got angry. I said, you have a bad spirit. Because you don't want my member to be blessed. You have bad spirit. This was 419. 1 to 419, the small money pastor have. When you see that you fall into those 419, it's because you want extra money. Two of us. You want money doubling. Money doubling. Once you put this, we are going to give you this in a few days. Wow. You now said to yourself, no bank can give me this. That is a bad spirit telling you that. Are you hearing me this morning? Praise God. So you must allow God to set the agenda. You must walk with the Spirit. If you have the Spirit in you, you will even know when it's 419 that is coming. But if you have money spirit, you will not even know that it's 419 because you have the spirit of mammon. Ask your neighbor, what is your mindset? Is it the Holy Spirit or the spirit of mammon? Some of you have broken friendship because of money. Family relationships are broken because of what? If you see the way they will fume, oh, a gentleman, then you know whether he's gentle. Now, let me say this in this church. I have said this separately, and I will say it again today. New Life Baptist Church, Rehoboth International Center, Abuja, does not borrow money to anybody. We are not a microfinance bank. So don't come to church and say, church, borrow me money to do something. Huh? Are you hearing me? Secondly, if any of you here borrow anybody money and the person refuses to pay, don't meet me. Because when you were borrowing it, I was not there. Did I take interest? You did not consult me. You do brother, sister in church where the pastor is the spiritual head. You know, the pastor knows all of everybody here. Even if I don't know you very well, but I look at you spiritually, I can know. Some of you don't know where I used to see you. Just that I don't talk. I'll just go and pray for you. Are you understanding me? And you go and you do transaction, borrow the person money, the person collects, the person cannot pay, and you want to now cause confusion in this church? To cause fight in this church because person borrow you money. Now church borrow, collect money from your hand. Some of you now get angry that the people in this church are owing money. Then they pay money. You now leave church. Now church borrow money from your hand. It's because you are too materialistic. If your brother is in need, help him. Sister, I need 100,000. I am in this need. Brother, I am now, truthfully, I can give you only 20,000. Not borrow, take it. God will have the rest for you. You have helped that person. Then when you borrow 100,000, the person cannot pay when he has asked. When you have said pay, the person will be dodging you in church. Two of us. If the person see you coming like this, he will pass another road. See, the borrower is a slave to the lender. I hope you know that. Once you borrow somebody money, you lend somebody money, you have made that person your slave. Romans 8 says, owe no man nothing. Please, stop borrowing money. Some of you go about the borrowing member, church member's money. Did they go, I will catch you. I will give you church discipline. Borrowing, go from one member, borrow me money, borrow me money, borrow me money. You are a thief. Go and walk. If you want to even give those people work, have you seen those kind of people? You say, come and work. They will say, this work too hard. Say, this money you are paying me too small. They don't know where you started from. But every time they want to meet you, give me money. Please, in this church, anybody that meets you once, give me money, you give. Second, you give money, you give. The third one, sit the person down. Tell the person, what do you want to do with your life? I give you permission. Or if the person refuses, still worry you, report the person to me. I will know how to handle the person. Because in this church, I must not encourage laziness and beggarly spirit. Are you a beggar? You are a child of God. You too can walk and also help people. Three of us. Shall we pray? Begin to thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for His word. And say, Lord, help me to have a spiritual mindset. May my focus not be on my